Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Wonderful in the Lord, bro.
Amen, amen. And also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great in Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. We just covered for the last 2 days Kanye West, and we not only covered some of the demonic stuff that he was doing, then some of his, you know, quote unquote conversion, and some of the things that he's professing and denigrating now in terms of pornography and abortion and things like that. And then we also covered some of the false gospels that are coming his way. And that brought me to thinking, you know what, I'd like to sit Joe and Tony down, but, you know, specifically Joe, and ask him, Joe, what on earth is the gospel?
What on earth is the gospel? Yes, because there's many things purporting to be the gospel right now. And praise God, I know you guys would give probably the same answer that I would give, but years ago, I'm going to give you kind of more of a kind of a little illustration from a brother that I want to honor. His name's Wally Tope. Wally was such an evangelist, man. That guy, I mean, he had the gift of singleness, he believed. And I think I met him when he was probably in his mid-40s. And we would go to these like New Age conventions, you know, the Anaheim Convention Center or wherever they were up in L.A. And there'd be hundreds, it seemed like, of booths, you know, of New Agers. And sometimes we'd go and we just witness outside. And sometimes we send a booth, and in the midst of all these booths promoting occultism and tarot card reading and, you know, pyramidology and channeling and all these things, we have this lone booth, you know, where Jesus, you know, big, bold, whatever, I am the way, the truth, and life, you know, stand out. People say, what, give us a chance to witness. One of the times that we went to one of these things, I saw a man out there just passing out tracts, got talking to him. His name was Wally Tope. First time I met him. Loved Jesus, wrote some books on Mormonism, and just a wonderful man. And it was just great to get to know him. And then guess what? During he's witnessing one time, and this was during a riot, without getting all the details, he was passing out tracts to people that were looting a store as they came out, passing out tracts on hell that he had written. He was basically kicked to death. I mean, he was kicked into a coma, and he died some weeks later, heartbreaking. He was martyred for the faith right here in California. And that doesn't happen typically when you're street witnessing, but it was in the middle of a riot, and it was a race riot at that, and he was trying to shine the gospel. So it's interesting, with Wally, I was talking to him one time, and I asked him what he was up to, and he said, I was in Utah, and I was following, you know, the president, the prophet of Mormonism. And he confronted him when he got off a bus, or on a bus, when he was one of those ways, and he just shared with me, he goes, hey, can you show me where in the Bible we have the gospel, where it says what the gospel is? And the guy stumbled. He said, I don't know. Here's the prophet of Mormonism, and he can't show you where the Bible states what the gospel is. And, of course, Wally knew this, as I believe you guys do as well. And if you don't, write it down, because Paul states specifically what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Paul says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Here it is. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Right there, Chad, your answer, right? He declares clearly what the gospel is. The gospel, it's euangelion, it's a Greek word. And euangelion means good news, you know? Sometimes I wish we just kind of translated it that way, good news, so people understand, because you hear gospel music, it's really good news music. It's all about God, you know, died for us. I mean, if you go on, I mean, there's more to the good news than that, right? We go to heaven, right? He gives us eternal life and so forth. But in a nutshell, you know, that's the good news. And John 3:16 basically tells us a lot of the content of the gospel as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, you know? So we have the good news of Jesus Christ. And notice that Paul says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you. So, and unless you believed in vain, there's the faith. So it's through faith in him, and obviously it calls for continuing abiding faith, you know? And that's part of the gospel message that Paul gives right there, is that you have to continue to stand fast in it. Otherwise, you've believed to no effect. It won't have a great outcome for you if you don't continue to trust in Jesus.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you went to that, because I've been doing a teaching, a Bible study at my home and at your home as well. And I have a couple of young guys coming over because they've been dealing with the doctrines of Calvinism and dealing with it with their friends and just wanting to learn more about it. And one of them asked me, can you just like sit down and teach me? I was like, well, why don't we just invite more people and we'll eat and we'll, you know, go into these doctrines. You know, we've been doing it now for about 3 months. And
I've come home to some of those, man, when you guys are in the middle of a barbecue, man, I've been blessed. So go on, bro.
Yeah, amen. And in fact, one time, in a very, very good way, Joe kind of heisted the study and did a whole teaching, because somebody just knocked on his door and said, hey, I'm having trouble with Romans 9. And Joe
said, he was a Calvinist too.
Yeah. And he's like, wow, just, you know, because of Romans 9, I'm no longer a Calvinist, which was
a little bit later he said that, right?
Yeah,
I took him through Romans 9. And the stronghold for Calvinists, because Romans 9, that's his testimony why he's not a Calvinist anymore. He sees the context.
Yeah, and another guy sent us an email who actually was combative right at that time. He sent us an email and said, hey, you know, I don't care about Calvinism or Arminian, but I read Romans 9, and I know that we're unconditionally elected and everything. And it was pretty detailed. And I was like, we can use that as the backdrop of the show. But then you did a short Q&A, only about a half hour long, speaking on a Sunday. And the guy
Romans
back,
9.
You know what? It makes total sense now. I got it. Thank
praise
you.
Praise God. Amen.
And I was like, oh, praise
God.
One
of the strongest things against Calvinism is Romans 9 from my standpoint.
Yeah, when you start actually understanding the context of the theology of Romans, let alone overall scripture.
Amen.
But this week, well, the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be dealing with the P. And so,
perseverance of the saints.
The perseverance of the saints when it comes to the tulip. And I think there's no better place to start than right here in 1 Corinthians 15, because it's literally the gospel, and I think it's really important. And when we talk about the gospel, I think one of the things that is missed, and one of the reasons that in the last show I brought up, you bring up the parable of the sower to people, because I think they don't, a lot of times they're given this promise. Watch Joel Osteen at the end of a message, say this prayer with me, and then guess what? You're now a brother in Christ because you said this prayer. And it's like, no, we don't know that.
Yeah, perseverance is not the gospel, but to be saved by the gospel, you have to believe.
Believe.
Yeah. And Paul emphasizes here, you have to continue to believe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that when Paul says his gospel here, his gospel message has to do with you believing that gospel and continuing to believe that gospel. And so I think it's really important, if we're going to talk about a message about what is the gospel, what does Paul say? And what are the, I mean, that's a warning, guys. It, contained within the gospel, that's Paul preaching the kindness and severity of God, even though in a very small microcosm there.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about, that's why we're the free of the blood of all men, because we do warn and we do say you need to persevere. And that's one of the reasons I believe Joe's always done that. And it's something that I've always loved to do, is not just simply say, let's say this prayer, now your brother, everything's good, we'll see you later, hopefully we'll see you. And I remember listening to a Charles Stanley teaching where he talked about, you know, you get, it's really sad when guys say a prayer and then you never see him again, but they're still your brothers, you know. And you're just like, what is this? This is not the gospel that I see. This isn't the gospel that I read about in the epistles. This isn't the gospel I read about, certainly not in the gospels.
No, that's what makes hypocrites, you know, and false converts. ESV brings out the kind of present tense of being saved there. We do certainly, but some people believe that, hey, you know, you're being saved and you will be saved. And they emphasize the present and the future tenses of salvation. There's plenty of them. But there are a few places where it uses the term saved in the past context. We believe once you come to Christ, you are saved.
Yep.
So we can look back when we were saved. Amen. But interestingly enough, the present tense is used a number of times, by the way, by Paul in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 15:2, the ESV, English Standard Version, which is a Calvinistic version, by the way, says, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you. And he's talking about the gospel right there, believing and continue to believe that, unless you believed in vain. The NLT version says this, emphasizes the emphasis on the continuation of faith. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Now, the scriptures don't literally say that last part, that were never true in the first place. The word there is usually translated in vain, and it means, the Greek word literally means, I've studied in the past, it means to know ultimate end, to know, because their faith died at a certain point. But we have to remember that it's not just continuing to believe in the gospel, but you have to believe it, the gospel, the true gospel, amen? Because there's a lot of false gospels going around. So it's not just the idea that you have to continue to trust Jesus, but you need better make sure you're trusting Jesus, that your faith is in Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross on your behalf. And the gospel also entails his resurrection, that he rose from the dead. Because Paul states, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And I'm going to go to Galatians, and then I think Chad's got another scripture along the lines that I'm going to mention. In Galatians, I mean, it's a very, very powerful passage. Paul says, I'm amazed. I usually quote this, but I'm just going to read it to you. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. He's concerned that they're going to not continue to believe and go to a different gospel, which is really not another, he says. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed, as we have said before. And I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Anathema is the Greek. It means to be cursed. Some translations even sent to hell.
Damn,
you know?
Damn. And it's interesting because I remember when I was studying betrothal, because I wanted to do a betrothal period with Holly before we were married. And, you know, symbolically, obviously, you know, we don't typically do that here in America too much. But I remember in 2 Corinthians 11, and it says, for I am jealous with you, jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And I typically was sharing the gospel with Mormons.
Yeah.
You know, because we're talking about the gospel here, okay? One thing I love to do, and I know Joe and Tony as well, we'd love to share the gospel with Mormons. And Galatians 1, 6 through 9, as Joe quoted, 2 Corinthians 11, these are texts that I'm all about. Like, I love
Amen.
Taking them to, I've had them sit out with highlighters. Like, I'm like, oh man, you're so busy with that other gospel that you're not paying attention what the true gospel means here. You know, and I think it's one of the important things when we have an entire episode dedicated to what the gospel is to also show forth what false gospels are, not just the ones yeah. that say you can do whatever you want, easy beliefism. Now, I want to caveat this just because I probably didn't do it as much as I would have liked in the beginning when it comes to Perseverance of the Saints, the P, okay, where the Perseverance of the Saints of the Calvinist, you know, would say that you will persevere if you're saved, but I guess you could have the evanescent grace as we talked about, so you don't really know if you're saved.
As a Calvinist, yeah.
As a Calvinist,
know.
But what's even worse for me when I think about it is the preservation of the sinner that comes forth with this
That's
false
easy
gospel,
beliefism. Yeah,
this easy beliefism nonsense that you said a prayer one time. You don't see it anywhere in Scripture.
You don't have to see fruit in your life. Jesus doesn't have to be your Lord. You don't have to be a disciple.
Yeah, first, or just try to
just
go read
in your heart,
1
just
John.
Go live, do what thou wilt.
try to read 1 John and what he's
yeah,
saying there.
Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. and chapter will nail that down.
All of them.
By the way, could you read the couple verses right after that? Because that's where he
yeah,
actually warns about different gospels.
Yeah, yeah.
Different
Jesus. Verse 4
different
says, for if one comes, and this is verse 4, and preaches another Jesus whom you have not preached, or receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. For I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way, we have made this evident to you in all things.
That's right. He's concerned that they'll bear beautifully a false gospel, a different spirit, a different Jesus. And that's exactly what's happened with millions and millions and millions of Americans, you know, whether it's the word faith gospel, which is a false gospel, teaches that Jesus became a demoniac on the cross and that his identity was that of a demoniac, that he didn't pay for our sins fully on the cross, that he had to go to hell and suffer in our place. That's a different Jesus. That's a different gospel. They also say he wasn't God. Almost all the word faith teachers say that he wasn't God on the earth, that the kenosis, the emptying and Philippians chapter 2 was a emptying of his deity, and he ceased to be God. Even though Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, if you don't believe that I am, present tense, you will die in your sins. So that's a false gospel, and that's huge in the body of Christ right now, which is needs to be excised from the body, that doctrine. The Watchtower, the Mormons, they teach a false gospel. It's interesting. We read a couple different verses, one from Galatians 1 and one from 2 Corinthians 11 that you just read, Chad. And by the way, a few verses down, was it 13 through 15? If you get several verses down, he talks about Satan transformed himself into an angel of light and has ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So you see these Mormon elders, they're called elders. It says elders so-and-so, but they're, you know, they have whiskers yet, you know, and they're supposed to be the husband of one wife, and they are not even left their home usually. Their kids, sad, pray for them. But you look at their Bibles that they pass out, it says it's a different gospel. It says, the subtitle is the Book of Mormon, a different testament of Jesus Christ.
Another, yeah.
You know, and it's absolutely different, or another testament of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because it is different. In 2 Nephi 25:23, and I'm not quoting scripture, I'm quoting from the Book of Mormon, it says that one can be saved after all they can do. Are we saved after all that we can do? No, you have to be poor in spirit. You have to be humble and come to the Lord and say, I can do nothing to earn salvation, you know, and recognize that you're spiritually bankrupt. You have not just a zero, you run a huge deficit. You owe God all kinds of righteousness that you could never pay, and he owes you wrath. And at the cross, truth and mercy meet, and that's where Jesus paid for our sins. But it's interesting, Romans 5, listen to this. Listen how it states it in the King James Version, and then how it was misquoted by Joseph Smith in the Joseph Smith translation to push a false gospel. Romans 4, 5 says, however, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness, which, by the way, I believe also gives some emphasis there on the substitutionary aspect of the atonement and propitiation, that he had to pay for our sins if we were to be saved. And it's interesting because it says he justifies the wicked there. And it's interesting because he uses a courtroom term, right? And it speaks of God acquitting those who are guilty and declares them not guilty through faith because he's paid our fine. Amen. But listen to the Joseph Smith translation. This guy's just absolute false prophet. Not to mention, you know, he also prophesied that the Lord would return in about 69 years in the 1800s. It never happened, according to his timeline. But Joseph Smith translation, Romans 4, 5. But to him that seeketh not to be justified by the law or works, but believeth on him who justifieth not the ungodly. Says he justifieth not. He has the word not there. Instead of justifies the ungodly, he adds, without one scintilla of manuscript evidence, he adds, who justifieth not the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's a false prophet, and he's messing with the eternal word of God. And he's dead and gone now. It's too late, so I can't even pray for him. But pray for those who are caught up in Mormonism. That's a false gospel.
Yeah, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. It's funny you mentioned 2 Nephi 25:23, because one thing I know I love to do when Mormons come knocking is I ask them the gospel, and most of them have never read they've read it, or they have no idea. 1 Corinthians 15, they usually can't find it. And I said, well, we'll read it. And I'll say, hey, do you believe what 2 Timothy 3:16 says, that every single word is God-breathed? You know, they say, oh, of course, yeah, of course we do, as it's, you know, best translated. And then I say, okay, cool. Well, let's put the two books together. Here's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Here's 2 Nephi 25:23. And they are direct contradictions, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
You're saved by grace through faith and not by works, lest any man should boast, right? So, and you're, you know, 2 Nephi 25:23 and their demonic doctrines. And that's one thing about Mormonism is that typically in the Book of Mormon, there's not a lot of doctrine. It's just a bunch of storytelling, okay? Where you get your doctrines is their Journal of Discourses.
Or Doctrine and Covenants,
And Doctrines and Covenants.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Mormons today don't even know what those are. And I took someone, I said, hey, in Journal of Discourses, you know, Volume 10, you know, Brigham Young says, if a person of the chosen seed said with the person of the unchosen seed that they shall be put to death and shall be a statue for all generations. And I said, you know, what do you believe about this? You know, and this is obviously racism. And if you guys know anything, the Mormons actually had to come out and admit, Brigham Young, a prophet, according to them, was a racist. you know? And take them through these things, and it's really heartbreaking because when you get to, same thing with Jehovah's Witness when it comes to John 8:24, there's these certain verses that I like to finish it off with.
Yeah.
You know, John 8:24 says, you not believe that ego I me, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you will die in your sins. That's why I would talk to, that's why I would, you know, I would chase you down on your bike to tell you this truth. Okay, and the same thing with the Mormons, you know, when it comes to Galatians 1:6-9, like you said, anathema. This other gospel is not just, oh, well, we have, you know, some differences. You know, some people like to dip three times during baptism, sometimes one. No, like, we're talking about another gospel and you're anathema.
Absolutely, bro.
And it's hard.
You know, with the JWs, I use similar tactics. I'll bring them to the scripture. I'll bring them to 1 Corinthians 15 and share the gospel with them. And I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. And then we'd already read it twice, I think, now. But toward the end there, he says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So I'll say, do you really believe that Jesus rose again according to the scriptures? And then I'll say, how did Jesus rise? Did he rise in his body? And they'll say, no, he rose as a spirit, you know, life-giving spirit, a spirit entity. So he is not in the body that was crucified now. He didn't rise bodily. They'll say, no, and that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, right? So then I'll take them to John chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, and I'll read to them. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. The Jews then said, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? And this is what the Holy Spirit says through John. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. What's going on there? Jesus saying in 3 days, you know, he says, destroy this temple, speaking of his body, this body, then we can say, because that's what Jesus is speaking of. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. What? His body up. He says it specifically. And then it goes on to say, verse 22, so when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken.
That's good.
So that's heavy, man, because it says the gospel is not only he died according to the scriptures and was buried, but rose again according to the scriptures. And here are the scriptures I show them clearly state that Jesus rose bodily. You know, and then for good measure.
And then he did it.
Yeah, he did it. Amen. You know, the Father, you can see where the Father in Galatians rose him up. The Spirit rose him up in Romans as well.
Romans
Jesus
10,
says, you know, I lay my sheep down, I'll raise it back up again. Over and over again, Jesus rose it. The whole Trinity was involved in his resurrection. John 20:26-29. I love this. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came and then the doors, it says, having been shut and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, the Lord, or my Lord and my God, which we've talked about before. JWs like to say, oh, well, that means he's not calling him God there.
It's just blasphemy.
Yeah. So they have a different Jesus. They don't believe he's God, and they have a different gospel. What's interesting, the watchtower there to deal with those scriptures, they say, well, that wasn't really the body that he died in. He manufactured a fake body, a phony body, to show them that he was alive, because that was the best way to communicate that he'd survived, you know, the grave and was resurrected. Wait a minute. That was his body, you know? We're saying that Jesus fooled them. He deluded them with a fake manufactured body. He said, destroy this temple, which the Holy Spirit says he spoke of the temple of his body, and I'll rise it up. He rose the same body up. That's why it had the nail marks and so forth.
Putting those two together really hammers it home on that.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And then I love this one too, because they say he's a spirit. Listen to this, Luke 20:36-40. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. Listen to this. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that is I myself, touch me and see, saying, hey, this is my body. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. Praise God, man. They goes on to say, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Man, that must have been so amazing. But that was his body that he had risen from the dead. And they misuse scripture. Oh, it says flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. You're right. He's got a flesh and bone body, it says here. And our bodies will be fashioned unto like the one like unto his. So they have a totally absolute false gospel. Then you could take them, if you want, to 1 and 2 John, which says that those who deny Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh in its present tense, coming in the flesh, are Antichrist.
Amen.
They're under the spirit of Antichrist. So they got a different spirit. They have a different gospel right there. not the gospel according to the death, burial, and resurrection according to the scriptures. And they have a different Jesus. They deny he's God. They've got a false gospel. They claim the Spirit of God is just like an energy. It's not even a person, where the fruit of the Spirit, peace, love, and joy, Holy Spirit speaks throughout the book of Acts, set apart Barnabas and so forth. He's a person. He's actually used the personal pronoun of a person throughout the Gospel of John and so forth. So we have the Gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've got your Bible, don't let anybody tell you you need something besides your Bible. Amen. They need some theology besides your Bible. People say, "What are you guys?" You know, that's going to be our next show. Chad said, "Hey, we want to ask the question: are we Reformed?" And I would say, "You know what? We're Christians, man." Well, define what kind of Christians. We're biblicists. You know, we stand on God's word. You know. We're blood bought. You know, we're born again. We're spirit filled. You know, don't you side with this? And that. We don't like to call ourselves after any man's name. You know, oh yeah, we believe that person's theology was better than that person's theology, but we're Christians.
Yeah, I mean, don't want to bury that lead. You know,
bulldoze it.
No, but we'll definitely deal with that more in depth, and maybe look at some of the things that we may agree or disagree, and why we would agree.
Some great things that came out of the Reformation. Some sad things too.
No, some very sad things. I won't, once again. It's so hard not to, you know. But the cool thing is we're talking about the gospel, and I love, you know, a lot of the text that Joe went to, and I do a very similar, you know, way about sharing with Jehovah's Witness. And I'll usually ask the same question: is who rose Jesus from the dead? And I love the text in Romans 9 through 13, because not only does it make it very clear that God rose him from the dead, but it literally calls Jesus Jehovah there.
Yeah, he's right, Yahweh.
That he's the Lord. He's Yahweh, because they translate the Tetragrammaton from Joel 2:32 and into Jehovah, which it is. And it
whoever calls him in the name of Yahweh.
Yeah, amen.
We'll be saved. Yeah.
We'll be saved. And so they do that. And then with John 2, as Joe mentioned, it clearly shows that it's bodily. Yeah. You tear on this body, I will raise it up, which is something I actually haven't gone to before. That's interesting. I use it in a totally different way. But that's what's great about the gospel. And that's why we get four different accounts, four different biographies.
Same gospel, though, guys. Matthew,
same
Mark, Luke,
gospel.
And, John.
And we get four different biographies written about our King and our Savior, and I love that. And then we
praise
get
you, Jesus.
The gospel, as some in the early church called the gospel of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. You know, when you see the Holy Spirit just, it's amazing. If you don't read the book of Acts and get excited, I got to wonder where your pulse is, you know, because you read these gospel messages, and you read, guess what? They're testimonies too.
You know? I've got a few sisters, and they all go to the fellowship, but one of them was just saying that Acts is their favorite, Patty. Just saying, Acts is my favorite book in the entire Bible. Like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's hard because I was texting a brother in the Lord, and we were talking, I think it was Travis Key, and we were talking back and forth, and he's like, "Oh, I was just reading James." I'm like, "Oh, James was my favorite a couple months ago," and then, you know, First John.
That's what I'm in
know?
Right now, James.
James. And
love
James.
You just got done memorizing Psalm 139, right?
That's right.
So now you're memorizing James, bro?
Job, the whole book.
I've been trying. I started with First John 1:1 with the boys, and I'm trying to memorize. I'd love to, you know, try to get my little boys to memorize all of First John, because I'm kind of addicted to it lately. You know, especially with easy beliefism and dealing with these things, and especially when it comes to just, you know, what is the message that they heard from Him, from Jesus? That guess what? God is light. There's no darkness in Him at all. If you say that you have the light, and you say you walk with Him and walk in darkness, you do not have Him, and you're a liar.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's interesting, too, the 1 Corinthians 15, you read the parts that say, according to the scriptures. Let's not forget, it's in the Old Testament, too, Isaiah 53:4-6.
Yeah?
Yeah, He's good pierced point. Through for our transgressions. It's all there in the scriptures.
Jesus showed His resurrection in what, the Psalms and the Law, and we went through Amen. That earlier. We're going to be going through that in the Typology Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.